Here. Pull out your Bible, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Actually, we've been doing a noon study at the game store. It's a Bible study that we have over the noon hour, and we've been going through the book of Hebrews. We actually read this verse earlier this week, but Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says this: "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And guys, that's exactly what we've been trying to do here now for the past, I believe, three summers in a row. We have engaged in a series looking at heroes of the faith. I mean, we've looked at people from Job to Ruth, and from Jim Elliot to Corrie ten Boom. We've looked at these heroes of the faith, and we've considered their lives and the outcome of their faith. And these are powerful men and women of God that have blessed our world. Well, this summer, we're going to do it again. This summer, we're looking at what we're calling Great Commission heroes. These are going to be men and women that God uniquely used in this movement that we're a part of called Great Commission Churches. Yeah, Great Commission Churches. We're a part of an association of churches called Great Commission. It's not that big. You'll mostly find it in towns with land-grant universities in them. This is somewhat of an anomaly for a Great Commission Church to be in Decorah. But we're here nonetheless. And this is a movement that I would actually say God himself was involved in igniting and blessing this movement, starting with little student groups at colleges and universities in the United States. It started on college campuses. And now it's spread to churches legitimately all over the world. In fact, we've adopted one of them, the church movement going on in Nepal is something that's near and dear to our hearts. And so what we're doing here is we're going to invite men and women who were a part of this movement from its inception, from its early years, to actually come here in person and share with us what God did in their lives and in that movement. And what's exciting to me about this is that this is not stuff that's coming from a book. This is stuff that's actually coming from their personal experience. Their lives is what they will be sharing with us. What's also exciting about this is that this is not something that just happens somewhere else with some other people. No, guys, this movement that I speak of, it's still happening. It's happening right now. In fact, you are a part of it. Just by being here, you are being swept up and impacted by this movement that started back in the early 70s. And so this is exciting. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, what kind of Great Commission heroes are we talking about here? Well, we've had some here already, like Mike Cater, the pastor with the church movement in Nepal. And we've had Rick Whitney here. Well, this year, we've invited people like Dave and Dawn Bovenmeyer and Jeremy Darling, who's been here a few times, and Mark Bowen and Mark Darling. And they're going to be here in person to tell us their faith story, their life, and how God has been using them and has had them experience defining moments that have changed them and has used them for incredible things. Guys, so I'm really pretty excited about this. It really is going to be huge. And so as we prepare for this, I was thinking, how should I launch this thing? And I think, well, let's define our terms. What do I mean by hero? And why do I think that these guys that I just mentioned are heroes? Why would I think they classify as heroes? Well, the world has its ideas of what makes a person a hero. You know, they're incredibly strong, they're incredibly smart, they're incredibly lucky, something like that. You know, they have their ideas. But what makes a person a hero to God, a hero in God's eyes, such that when it's all said and done, God looks you in the eye and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, I tell you guys, that is going to be a praise to live for. Let's pray for that. And I'm going to share with you some thoughts on what I believe a hero is made of. Lord Jesus, I just entrust these few words, these thoughts, these scriptures to you for your good pleasure, to use it, to speak to us, to transform us. God forbid that we leave this place exactly the same as when we entered it. May your word penetrate our hearts and our minds, and may you make a change for good. Lord, you've got a plan and a purpose for our lives, and I don't want a single soul to miss it. I ask you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me start by saying that without question, the greatest hero that the world has ever seen or will ever see is Jesus Christ. It just needs to be stated. For the record, Jesus stands alone. When you consider the depth of his personal sacrifice, when you consider the measurement of the benefit he has had to mankind, when you think of his global influence in the world, Jesus blows the competition away. There's no one that can stand up to him. And it was Jesus himself who said, for whoever, that's hard to see, isn't it? You might need to turn off the lights on occasion. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Yeah, Jesus said that. And in that statement right there, Jesus gives us a clue to living a heroic life. And this is the stuff that I actually shared with all of you, or at least most of you, last year. We talked about this very topic, about what makes a person a hero. That you have to lose your life for Christ and for the gospel if you ever hope to find it. I mentioned to you that we have invited this guy, Mark Darling, to be a speaker. He is a pastor of the Rock Church up in Minneapolis. And many of us, we've gotten to know him from Faith Walkers, this annual conference we go to. And so we've gotten to see his life there as he's shared and how he's lived it for Christ. And I wrote to him about this topic, about being a hero, and he emailed me back and he said this. He always writes in capital letters. I don't know why. He just does. He said this: Jesus didn't come into the world to make a life for himself, but to make a life for others. Jesus sends us into the world. Not to make a life for ourselves, but to make a life for others. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He expects us to die for the salvation of the world. That is, that we would give our lives to propagate the message, his love to the world. Death, death, death to self, that others might live. Of course, I did not say that in the classic Mark Darling style, but this is definitely classic Mark Darling talk. You know, that's the way he talks, with a whole lot more energy and zip and pizzazz than I just did. But that's what he says. He shares these things. And when we read this, guys, you've got to remember, for those of you who have been around for a year or more, I showed you this last year. And so I was looking at this quote, and I was thinking to myself, well, how have I done? Has my life changed any? Have I adopted a pattern of living where I put to death my own desires, my own wants, my own personal interests, so that I'm more available to give my time and my money and my life to help others find life. Am I talking about you? You think back about your life. Well, it's been a whole year now. Have I made adjustments? Has God made a change in my life where I am more like this, where I am making daily choices to die to myself that I might come alongside a hurting soul that they might find life in? You know, when I present myself with a challenging question like that, I always want to look for an escape. And I was like, well, come on. That's not easy. That's not easy to do. And then right away I hear the words of Jesus saying, did I ever say that being a disciple was going to be easy? In fact, Jesus said the exact opposite of that. This is what Jesus said about being a disciple. He said, Then he called, he called a crowd to him, along with his disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself and you take up a cross and you follow Christ. That's what it takes. And I was looking at that and I was thinking to myself, I will never do this unless I have the heart of a hero. I'm not going to make this kind of choice. That's beyond me. Everything in me revolts at that. I was thinking we'll even resent Jesus for saying that. We will resent it unless we have the heart of a hero. And that's what I'd like to share. For the remainder of our time, I would like to share what is at the heart of a hero. And I'm going to use the word hero as an acronym, so I'm going to need a little help. Okay? This is the help I need. Give me an H. Yeah, okay, let's work on that one more time because we have three other letters to do. Okay. Give me an H. Oh, no, that's beautiful. Yes, H stands for humility. Humility. Guys, even the world has this one figured out. Even the world understands the importance of humility. You look at the super villains out there. You look at Loki or Magneto or Brian Banner. You know? Brian Banner, the Incredible Hulk's dad. Never mind. All these guys, they had some pretty intense superhuman power. I mean, these guys had power and they had potential. But they wanted more. And they wanted more for themselves. Their greed, their revenge, their pride, it became their downfall. For some of them, it destroyed them. Guys, humility is absolutely key to heroically losing your life so that others might find life. Philippians 2 just tells it like it is. Philippians 2, it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When I first got saved, I just jumped in with both feet, super excited. And one of the first jobs they gave me in the church was doing setup and teardown of sound equipment. And I just thought this was great. And so I just jumped in, and I was helping set up and I was helping tear down, and I was all good with that. But after 3 years of doing it, it was no longer fun. Maybe after 2 years, it was no longer fun. I mean, I thought I would have graduated out of setup and teardown. I was seeing all of my peers engaging in exciting conversation with all the cute girls. And I had to do setup and teardown. I would see them gather around the speaker and glean words of wisdom from him. And here I was having to roll up the snake. And I just feel like, come on. I want to have my chance to hang out with the important people, you know, to kind of rub shoulders with the leaders, not have to set up and tear down all the time. And so I began to develop an attitude. I thought I was bigger and better than this because I had kind of graduated out of that. Well, many years go by, and I'm at a leadership training program, and what job do they assign to me? Set up and tear down of the sound system. Yep, that's what they did. And so there I am. In fact, it was even worse. The guy that they put in charge of the setup and tear down was a guy that was like 2 or 3 years younger than me. And so that didn't go over well at all. But of course, God knew exactly what he was doing. He was breaking me down because of the pride in my life. And so here I am. I'm doing the setup and tear down. I remember one time tearing down, and Herschel Martindale had just spoken, and boy, did I want to hang out with him. And I even was standing around the crowd, kind of, you know, I'd pick up a cord, kind of hoping I could inch over to Herschel Martindale. You know. It was bad. But I really resented it, especially having the guy over me that was younger than me. And so I remember distinctly sitting in one of the LT meetings, and the pastor was sharing on, I wouldn't be surprised, this section. And he's talking about how Jesus considers the greatest person in his kingdom to be the servant, the slave of all. And he said, where do you think Jesus would be if he was in this meeting right now? And everybody was kind of maybe throwing out their ideas, something, you know, cleaning the bathroom is always up on the top of the list. You know. He said he would be doing the thing that nobody wants to do, but everybody wants to get done. Set up and tear down the sound. And boy, did that hit me like a ton of bricks. Here it was, I wanted to hang out with the important people in the eyes of men, when all along, Jesus would have been the one helping with the setup and teardown. It humbled me big time. And so here I am, a 50-year-old man, and what am I doing? Set up and tear down every single Sunday. And I'm good with that. That's where Jesus would be. Okay. Give me an E. All right, E stands for eager or zealous. Yeah, people, I tell you, this is the stuff that preoccupies your mind. You're eager to do this. You're This is what you get excited about. This is what you love doing. People are eager to do a lot of things. Very few of them are those things that would ever make them into a hero. But what I like about superhero movies or superhero video games is that they inspire me to be heroic. They really do. That, you know, to live my life doing something that is bigger than me, that's impossible for me. That's why I like to watch those types of movies. You know, a verse that caught the imagination of the Great Commission heroes back in the day is John 14, verse 12. John 14, 12. It says this. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Really? Really, Jesus? I mean, seriously. I'm going to do greater things than you did. Right. Not going to happen. I mean, seriously, how could he even say that? That I'm going to be able to do greater things than Jesus did if I would just but believe in him? I figured I must not believe. I mean, how could that? I mean, think about it. The wisdom Jesus had, the miracles that he performed, the sacrifices that he made. If you truly believe, Jesus said, you and I will do even greater things, the same things, and greater things. You know, greater things such as actually sharing the gospel with somebody and seeing them cross over from death to life. You know that Jesus never had a chance to see that happen? Because he hadn't died on the cross and risen from the dead yet. He could see it by faith. He knew, because he's God, if a person was going to end up in paradise or not, but he didn't actually see that person cross over from death to life like you and I can. On the other side of the cross, actually leading somebody to Christ is something Jesus never did. Many of you guys here, it hasn't taken long for many of us to meet Jay McGee, right? You've met Jay. I think his middle name is E for Eager. Jay Eager McGee is what I think. Well, did you guys know that I did not want to share the gospel with him? He had been coming to the store, and he would ask me to come over to his place, and I would brush him off. I mean, seriously, I just considered the guy to be a high-needs, low-output kind of person. I mean, I really wanted to invest my life into a college student, you know, who was smart and could able-bodied and all these things. You know, I had this picture of the super Christian. And he didn't fit the picture. And so I blew him off multiple times. It was the third time that he asked me to come over to his place. And I go, "Well, why do you want me to come over to your place?" And he says, "Well, I'd like to talk about church and God and stuff." I said, "I guess that's my job." You know? And so I figured, well, I'll just go over there. I will just shove the gospel down his throat and move on. You know, I was struggling with the attitude. So I go over there, and I share with him the gospel using the little booklet, the Do You Know For Certain booklet. And the guy just, I mean, the spirit, the desperation, the earnestness to believe rebuked me. And as soon as he was done praying, some of you have heard this story, he said, "Can we meet with other people and share this with them too?" Man. And sure enough, the next week we met with Mary, and she prayed to receive Christ. And now he's got hopes to reach other people, Robin and others. In fact, many of you guys heard about what happened to Dustin Herhold. And when he heard about it, he called me up and he said, "Hey, can Mary and I come over to your place and pray for Dustin?" Like, man, that guy is eager. He is eager to engage in the spiritual world, leading people to Christ, being hospitable, praying for hurting people. And here I am. I didn't even want to share the gospel. No, a real hero is eager, zealous for good deeds. All right, give me an R. R. R stands for reliable or faithful. There's a proverb that says many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Well, it seems like our truly reliable person is hard to come by these days. I was kind of wondering why that is, and I'm thinking it goes back to the H, a lack of humility in Americans in general is why we find a lack of reliability in Americans in general. You know, we're caught up with our own thing. We're doing our own stuff. We have our own interests. We have our own wants, and they conflict with other people and the things that they need, the things that they want from us. And so which one wins? Guys, selfishness will almost always win. But not for a hero. A hero is someone you can depend on to be genuinely concerned about what is going on in other people's lives. Listen to what Paul said about Timothy in this regard. He said, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Wow. Paul says, I have no one else like him. And you figure Paul would have been surrounded by the elite. No one else like him. Reliable people are rare people. And Paul says that what made Timothy a reliable man was that he proved himself. He proved himself over time with hard work and sacrifice. When others, like Mark, quit on him, Timothy didn't. That's what makes someone a hero. They don't quit on people. Unlike what I did with Mike Edwards. This was back in my Ames day. And I was new in the ministry, and there was this guy that was kind of on the fringe. His name is Mike, you know? And so once a week, I would go over there in some vain effort to disciple him. But what a lost cause. All this guy could talk about is girls. I mean, he wants this girl, but he can't. You know, he maybe get this girl, but he can't. He wants this girl. Then he talks about sex. And, oh, woe is me. Here I am, 20, and I haven't had sex yet. There's something seriously wrong with me. I'm going to die without having sex. And it's like, come on. I would try to get him back into the gospel. I try to, it's like, well, let's see, what does Jesus say about this, you know? And I try to, and every single week I go there and just hit the repeat button. And I thought, this is a colossal waste of my time. The only reason I did it, honestly, is because my supervisor said, you go and you build into this. Build into what? And so here I am, I'm doing this for I don't know how long. It seems like forever in these types of situations. And finally, he moves away. And I can go on to other things. Well, wouldn't you know it? It's about a year or two later, our little student group does a mission trip up to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I go to the awesome Rock, the Rock Church there with Mark Darling, and we're going to this service, and who is running their entire light operation but Mike Edwards? And this was no small thing. I mean, this was a big production situation, and he was integrally involved. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I would read him in the obituary somewhere, you know. But here he was serving away hot for God. In fact, it reignited a relationship, and within a year, I actually married the guy. Oh. True heroes do not quit on people. So, give me an O. You betcha. O is for obedient. You will never be great for God if you don't obey him. In fact, guys, you can't even love God if you don't obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I mean, they are integrally linked. That's how we show love for God, is by obeying him. It's also how we show love to one another, by obeying, listening, responding to their needs. But that's a whole different message. Okay, so one time, Jesus was teaching, and this incident happened. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And I thought, wow, what an image. But nonetheless, I'm sure she meant it well. And he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Blessed rather. Huh. You know, it's interesting. Many superheroes, they have a source for their power. You know, it could be a yellow sun, or, you know, it could be a special ring, or maybe a Greek god, you know, has given them the power. A special suit, really cool gadget. You know, they get their power from somewhere. They don't intrinsically have power in and of themselves unless they're Thor. Okay? Maybe a few others. But, you know, but they don't intrinsically have it. They get their power from somewhere else. Even if it's a mutation, they're deriving their power from some other source. Well, that's all fantasy. But it points to a reality. True heroes are not born that way. They are blessed that way. And God's blessing is what makes you great. And you will never receive God's blessing unless you obey him. Obedience is critical to greatness. James 1:25 says this, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Then Jesus chimes in John 13. He says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Wow. Seriously, I could pull from a huge storehouse of stories of courageous obedience by those who have gone before us. Some of them, though, will actually be here, and you'll actually hear those stories for yourself. But you're not a hero from hearing about other people's obedience. That's not what makes you a hero. It's your obedience. That is what will make you and me a hero. Our obedience and your opportunity and mine to obey is actually upon us. You remember at the beginning of my message, we looked at Hebrews 13, and it talks about how we are to imitate the faith, the heart of our leader. And Paul gave this command to Timothy, and it echoes through the centuries to us today. Paul wrote this. He says, "In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come, I believe is now, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry. And guys, our time to imitate Paul and Timothy's faith is now. Starting tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, heroic Christians all over the state of Iowa will participate in what is called the Bible Marathon. And our county is no exception. Heroic Christians will gather at the courthouse, and we will read through the Bible from cover to cover over the course of next week. Starting tomorrow at 9 a.m., going to 5 p.m., we are going to rotate out any Christian who is willing, any Christian who has the courage to show up for a half an hour, an hour, as long as they want, and read whatever portion of Scripture we happen to be at the time. In fact, we're hoping to have up to 3 or 4 people on each corner of the courthouse lawn reading through the Bible. Every county, 99 of them in Iowa, will be doing the same thing. Well, here's the deal on that one. I have been asked to be the captain of the Bible Marathon here in Winnipeg County. And I have put the word out to the other churches, but honestly, it's not their thing. It's not their gig. They don't have someone on the inside promoting it. And so the response from the other churches has been virtually non-existent. So the lion's share of this Bible Marathon falls to this remnant. As much as we can, God will be pleased by our faith, not by whether we actually get to the last chapter in Revelation. And so I would like to ask you guys to join me in this heroic effort to read through the entire Bible. I plan on being there at 9 a.m. every day to kick things off. So if you can do it, we have a sign-up sheet back there. Give me your name. If I don't have your phone number, write it down. What day and time you can do it. And we will work you in. There'll be no problem since I can have 3 openings at any given hour. There might still be, I've been asking the Lord for a surge in interest and engagement with the other believers. I am hopeful, I'm praying that my inbox will be filled with responses, that my phone will be ringing off the hook. But if not, may we be faithful. May we be heroes of the 21st century. Because now is our time to have the heart of a hero. To have humility, to have an eagerness, to be reliable, to be obedient. This is our time. I hope you join me. It's the stuff that heroes are made of. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, to do something new in me. I recognize that from last year I changed little. I even gave the message. Lord, I don't want that to happen again. I ask you, God, to get a hold of my life, get a hold of our lives, and transform us into heroes of today. May we be men and women who do the hard things, the courageous things, the sacrificial things, the things that make other people point and laugh, but you point and say, "See my child? You see him? You see her? She's stepping out in faith. She's doing what nobody else will do. I am so pleased. I am so pleased with her. I'm so pleased with him. God, I pray you would grip us. Grip me. God, I don't want to waste my life anymore. Our whole country walking away from you. But I won't. God, I will not quit on you. And thank you, God, you'll never quit on us. I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus, freshly. Make me into the kind of man you want me to be. Your will be done on earth as it is.